Hello there, listeners. Freeman here, your GM from Stemming the Tide. I'm excited to announce to you that we crazy fools at Uncharted North have a very special something in the works for our episode 100 milestone. Over the last couple of years, we have sporadically and aloofly referred to something we did before the release of our flagship show. That was our test recording in the summer of 2021, where we ran through the first two chapters of the Paizo adventure Troubles in Otari. There have been nods and references peppered throughout Stemming the Tide that go back to this test period and the stories we told behind the scenes then. And we often dreamed and dreaded the process of releasing said content one day because it was both a fun romp and a really rough ride on the technical side and skill side of things, like a proper rehearsal period for any entertainment production. We even, as recently as spring 2023, ran and recorded Chapter 3, which included our newest Uncharted North member, Cam. But in the end, due to technical and logistical issues, we've had to settle on the fact that Troubles in Otari, in its recorded form, will not see the light of day. However, we were far from deterred when it came to the idea of sharing a story that was so fun to create in the first place, and not only that, to expand upon it, to add to our own existing personal canon in the world of Galarian. I had decided early on that the events and troubles in Otari occurred approximately 2 years before the start of Stemming of the Tide, and how those stories intertwine should be more than just a nod or a reference here and there. And that is what the events starting in episode 100 will be all about. We want to warn you that you can expect a departure from the usual story and characters when we hit them this milestone. But, of course, we want to reassure you as well that this so-called departure is still very intimately connected to the story we all love. It involves wonderfully entertaining and personal characters, and will tell a side story integral to our version of the Abomination Vault's adventure path. So in order to build that up, in order to get you ready for how expanding that story extends into Stemming the Tide, I'm thrilled to present to you a recap of the events of our playthrough of Chapter 1 in Troubles in Otari. And if you happen to be a Patreon listener and you're listening to this on the Patreon RSS feed, continue listening after the recap for a little behind-the-scenes talk with myself and one of the crew. Allow me to tell you a tale of a half-elven man of winemaker stock, named Aelin Winemar of Zimar. At least that was the tale he told the time this tale starts. Once upon a tumultuous time, Aelin sought peace from a life of chaos and risk, and his grand design saw him leave the big city for the outskirts of a quiet lumber town. The irony of this tale predictably lies with money, whose palm it crosses, and why. But this is not a tale of morality or philosophy, or of right and wrong, but of what it's like to eke out an existence in a world that oft tries at every turn to take it from you, and what it means to lend a helping hand to those in need, whatever one's reasons may be. We won't begin this tale in the exciting, dangerous past of petty crime and grand daring dues, but rather at the edge of simpler beginnings, or so they would have seemed to a man escaping hard times, on the run from rivals and past targets of his misdeeds. Aelin had a plan, of course. He didn't survive as long as he had without thinking ahead. He had a line on a little fishing shack on the southern coast of the Isle of Kortos, outside the town of Otari, and he would endeavor to flip it into his own personal getaway, and a getaway for the well enough to do in need of some peace and quiet, and comfortable separation from the hustle and bustle of civilization, with few questions asked. With a great portion of his funds tied up in the acquisition of the deed for the land and lodge, what little remained went to a dwarf named Glavrok Duskhelm, a once would-be hero, turned mercenary, turned bodyguard, a fearsome fighter with a keen eye and a gruff disposition to match. And not wanting to put all his eggs into one basket, Aelin also entered into an agreement with the gnome bard David Ettercap and his furry counterpart, Earl the Raccoon. For a cut of the profits, David was to use his oratory and literary expertise to ghostwrite the memoirs of Aelin's more daring adventures, keeping his new identity and the very real identities of many others in confidence, of course. And so, the three set out from Absalom in secret, along the long and winding granary road, to find their contact, one Tamily Tandervale. Tamily was more than happy to part with the deed of her old fish camp, Her business booming at the Otari fishery, she had little time in the past few seasons to visit the area, but letting it go at a steal of a cost came with a hard catch. The wilds of Kortos were not to be trifled with any more than any other wilds. In all likelihood, the fauna of the area would have moved right on in. Not even to mention the fish camp's own resident ghost, Blue Finley. In order to help get the lay of the land, Tambly introduced Aelin and crew to a local fisher. A bit elderly, happily retired and generously fed, the Shuni Arfer of Arrasil was to be their guide. And so they set out along an old road down an even older trail to find their new home. And a real fixer-upper it was. They were waylaid by a boar, attacked by giant spiders, and met a rather positive and energetic scallywing named Ollie, who took a shining to Earl, much to his chagrin. And when things grew too much, these intrepid frontiersmen settled on the sandy beach to recoup their efforts. That was when the truly terrifying and uncaring world came for them and theirs. And Glavrok fell to the apex of predatory nature, the twisting, wrenching jaws of a saltwater crocodile. Like his profession required, he succumbed to death, taking the harshest blows. He was a professional to the end, though I'm sure he'd have preferred a very different end. But thanks to the commotion of the day and night, along came someone who shared Aelin's goals of tranquil existence, but was now perturbed by the retinue's rowdy ruckus. An orc hermit known as Krugga, quick to temper as he was quick with his fists and feet. Even in his own words, after all, what are feet but other fists? With the intention of quietude among his lands and home again, Krugga agreed to aid Aelin and friends in clearing out the rest of the camp. And despite his particular discomfort with arachnids of any size, Krugga added his might to the task, and a genre of dry wit that could only come from this singular person, alone, without any attachments of any kind, in the wide known world. And so they continued said task, facing against more killer beasts, and even quelling Blue Finley's restless spirit, who long ago, like Glavrok, was a failed hero to be. And once the legally binding deed in hand was done, they looked upon their new homestead with visions of the future. Friends to be had, money to be made, and the hush harmony of the tweeting birds, the buzzing insects, the whistling wind, and the lapping waves over a fine glass of Talden brandy. Surely what dreams are made of. Lofty business for the new kids in town. But first, there was a hell of a lot of cleaning and repairing to be done. And I'll spare you the mundane details.